Welcome to The Backlog, the show where we make good on Steam Cell promises. I'm Calix.
And I'm Sasha.
And this week's game is Everything. We're joined this week by Christian.
Say hello, Christian.
That was cool because I said say hello while you were saying say hello, so it completely stomped everything. Say hello, Christian.
Hello.
Well done, us. Off to a great start. Please note that we will be getting into major spoiler territory in our deep dive to the extent that we are able. So, if you don't want to get spoiled for the game, you should probably put this episode aside for a while. But if you finish the game, or you don't mind spoilers for it, settle on in. So,
everything.
Everything, everything.
Everything, everything, twice. Fuck.
That didn't take long.
Ah!
So, Everything is a game about being everything.
Mm-hmm.
What did you know about this going in? Is this the first that you'd heard of it? What'd you do?
I've seen trailers for it before. But they were in the context of, like, a game's website being like, this game seems interesting. And then that was basically the extent of my knowledge of it.
Yeah, I had heard of it as basically the headlines of Everything lets you be everything. And I was like, that's interesting. All right, I'm on to the next thing now.
Mm.
Yeah, you just told me that it was a game where you could be everything, and that's it.
That's all.
I knew. It's like, okay.
Did you finish the game?
The first set value of finish. There's a point in the game where you go into this weird golden X thing, objects that you like encounter at the beginning of the game, and then it is basically that game's final boss is trying to figure out, now that you're in this thing, how to get out, and it's very philosophical and all that. And then once you get past that, it's like tutorial completed, and now you can play the rest of the game.
Yeah.
But I think that the rest of the game is just like a sort of an open world kind of thing where you just sort of jump into different things and find out new things and stuff like that. So I got basically to the end of the tutorial, and
which feels like the end of the game. And then there's just more content to find, but not more like things to discover per se. But that's not totally true. There is more stuff going on. But I'll get into that in a second. It's nothing crazy, but how far did you make it, Kristen?
Not that far. I started in space, and then I was in the forest, and I never left the forest.
Cool. I never got to the forest, so...
Oh, okay.
You never got to the forest.
No.
You also got into the forest if you made it through the tutorial.
Mm-mm. Nope. I did not make it to the... I let's see. I started in the desert, and then I went down to the submolecule, so I was just chilling there for a while, and then I went to space. And then I went to an alien planet, and I chilled there for a little bit. Then I was like, hey, I should probably go back to the regular planet. So I went back to the green planet and chilled in a city for a while. And then one of the objects was like, hey, it's time to go figure out this cool cube thing. Not a cube, this golden X thing. So go find that. And I'm like, oh, I should probably make my way back to the desert biome. So I struggled to do that for a while. So I never got to the forest.
Huh.
And there were several locations in the trailer that I also have never seen, so...
Yeah.
It was not very as thorough with this game as I thought, maybe.
So let's talk about what this game is. This game is a 3D game, for one. It has you taking on control of things, and control of things generally means you can move them around. And from that point, you can... either transfer control to something larger than you or to something smaller than you. And that's it. That's what you do. You do that a bunch. There's like this synchronizing thing that you're supposed to do each time you do it, that like you enter and you synchronize with it, and then now you've become that thing. It goes into your catalog of things, and now you can switch to something else.
Well, they're not the only things you can do. You can sing, you can group up with other things that are like you, and then you can dance with those things.
Yeah, and doing those things helps you synchronize.
Mm-hmm.
Also, collecting up with similar objects is the easiest way to fill up your catalog. You'll just sort of storm through a space and like gather up all the things and be like, oh, great, now I've added 16 things that I am to my roster of things that I am. And then, like you said, there's a dance button, mm-hmm. and everything sort of does little twirls. And that's everything. That's everything that you do and everything.
No, it's not. You talk to things.
Hmm. And you procreate through dancing.
That's
you
true,
do.
Yeah.
You do. I found that out quite late. One of the things that happens after you complete the tutorial is that you start unlocking dev stuff.
Really?
Like, you can add or subtract any number of things to the scene.
Oh, wow.
So you can just press a button and you'll keep adding more yourself press another button, you'll keep removing from the scene. You get the ability to change scale arbitrarily. You're like, I'm a tree, but really I should be small. I think during the tutorial you get the ability to become any other thing arbitrarily from a list. I only did that a couple times.
Yeah, I did that at a microscopic level. I became a tent and was immensely amused by being a tiny tent. That was really good.
Yeah, I became a helicopter at the universe scale.
Oh my god! That's really good.
It was kind of fun. But this game doesn't have any sort of difficulty.
Yeah, nope. I'm really pleased with every game that we've played so far. Has not had a difficulty part for that section, so hopefully we'll keep on doing that.
I'm sure that'll keep up.
But there is a talking mechanic. This actually feeds into a fun thing where, like, you can talk to things, and over time, your catalog of all the things that have been said to you get remixed into a thought. So you have a thinking. And
is that how that happens?
When it's done thinking, it's taken pieces of all these different thoughts and put them together into a sentence. Which doesn't always make any sense. Which is fine, because that's how thinking works. So there's that sort of benefit to going around and talking to stuff. And there's also little audio diaries that are like snippets of like a lecture on everything that I really enjoyed.
I believe they are snippets from multiple lectures. After completing the tutorial, I went to see if I could find the rest of it. I've only unlocked about half of the lectures. I find them really compelling.
Yeah, they're really cool. I don't know what you thought of it, Christian.
They're so philosophical, and I'm not used to like hearing or thinking in that way. So I was like, this is really important, and I want to understand everything. But then I couldn't remember like what I had just heard after. But it was cool.
Yeah. A lot of playful descriptions. The lecture format itself was kind of playful in that talking about the everythingness of things or the I-ness of something. Like, he'll talk about how the cells are this constant conflict, and to them everything seems really chaotic, and you know, these things are fighting that thing and banding together with those things, and it's this major, major drama. And we know that to us as an organism that we rely on that drama working as it does in order for us to survive, and that that sort of changing context going up and down, and it's things all the way down, as I think he says.
Yeah, it was just so deep that I didn't expect that from a game. I was like, what?
I think it most closely mirrors The Witness in terms of how it presents its content, as here is a thing to do, and here is a nearly totally unrelated content tree to experience. But those things are thematically intertwined. They build off each other conceptually, if not materially. I think that this sort of puts a spot in between The Witness and Beginner's Guide, where Beginner's Guide is explicitly about the content you're experiencing, and The Witness is kind of not about any of the stuff that you're experiencing at all, but by comparison, by putting these things next to each other, it implicitly creates that connection.
Yeah.
I think everything has that connection intended in the presentation, so you can kind of see both things. It's not like the guided experience that the Beginner's Guide is, and it's not completely the disassociated musings of The Witness. It's some middle ground, I think.
Yeah, it feels like the lectures and everything are the theory, and then the game itself is the practice. Like, here is this person talking about how you're the universe looking at itself, and here you are as the universe looking at yourself, right? Like, that's what you're doing in the game, is the verb. Which I think maybe drives those points home in a more tangible way. Certainly in respect to The Witness, which I think is trying to do the contrast and context kind of move.
But that through juxtaposition more than by any actual relationship.
Which I think for the most part doesn't work, but this is not a Witness review, this is an everything talk, so. One of the snippets that really stuck in my mind was talking about the relationship between people and the planet, and the common perception that we are a thing that happened to the planet, rather than something that the planet produced. And the parallel was a tree, apples, a planet, peoples, right?
Yeah. That one stuck with me too.
That was really cool.
That nouns as verbs always is a strong thing for me, that existence is an expression of existence and not just the existence itself. I find that really engaging conceptually. Visually, the game is really interesting because it's kind of a mix of a lot of different styles. It's very simplistic in some ways.
Yeah, it's mad low poly for sure.
Yeah, but it also...
It's not very complex models, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, it uses very simplified art, which it has to, given the breadth of its intended scope.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, let's model everything that you can think of, and then more than that.
Including the stuff down at a subatomic level, which honestly is my favorite stage of the game. It's so weird and abstract and hard to think of. Like, you can become a shape there.
Yeah.
Which was radical.
Yeah, and then it's got this, like, kaleidoscope effect.
Mm.
Especially when you get a lot of things pinging together, singing and doing all of that stuff. I never got everything of a single type, like, of a single category. I think the closest is the 1D, just because it has so few things.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have 3 of the 5, and I was like, oh, I just don't know how to find those things.
Yeah.
I think visually it's closest to something like Katamari Damacy,
mm-hmm.
in terms of both the visual style of these bright colors, simple polygons, and also the very, very simplified animation style.
Oh my god, the animation style is so good in this game.
Yeah.
It's so funny and fun. Like, I love growing as a tree. It's not like you, the tree, are moving. It's that you're, like, becoming a new tree in front of you as that one, like,
yeah,
recedes. And you just sort of grow your way across the landscape. And that's really cool. And also flipping end over end is so funny as, like, when a creature.
You become, like, an elephant and you just go onto your head,
mm-hmm.
and then onto your back. And then,
like, yeah, and everything does it. Every single thing does it. It's so good.
Yeah, that definitely surprised me, because that was the first thing I was a star and then a sheep, and so I'm like, okay, here we go, and it just flips, and I was like, what?
Why is this sheep on its face now? I was like, no, this is fine.
I got a kick out of that the entire time, I was playing like...
And then you get like a herd going, and mm-hmm. everybody's just going end over end,
and
tumbling.
At first I thought it was just the sheep, and I was like, the deer are doing it, everybody's doing it.
Everybody's into it.
Yeah.
Did you start in the forest, or where did you start?
I was a star, and I was just traveling through space, mm-hmm. and thinking, and then I was a sheep. Yeah.
Wild. I started as a camel.
Weird. I started as like a like antelope thing in no like a reindeer almost in a snowy biome.
That's really good.
I didn't know that it had a different starting location.
I love that. I also did not know that.
There are a couple of different animation styles. Like, if you become a bug or something, it'll wiggle left and right as you move.
Mm.
Instead of tumbling end over end, it'll just go bop, 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 bop.
Yeah, like, the centipede, though, it just
sort of jitters.
It just jittered, yeah. But everything is kind of like little baby hops.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is a good solution to making something creepy, like a centipede, not creepy. Sort of make it a toy.
Yeah. And then I became a squid, and then I made that squid as large as I could, and then I became a continent, and I wandered around it. That's what I did.
That's cute.
Yeah. Especially when you can, like, change size as a landmass. Did you notice that time moves differently based on your scale?
I read that. I did not notice it.
If you become a giant rock,
mm-hmm.
you can see, like, all the things moving around you, like, it's in, like, time-lapse.
Oh, wow.
And the skybox will change faster, and you can see the flora and, like, the things that are much smaller than you popping up and disappearing. And
I noticed the day cycle when you're a continent. I actually honestly didn't get the impression that time was passing. I don't know why I didn't. I think maybe it's the scale of being a continent and moving, I feel like, is, like, an era thing, not a day thing. So I guess that's probably why it didn't click as much for me at that scale.
I really liked the floaty feeling of the cellular scale.
Yes.
Everything, like, really blurry. The depth of field of that was really good.
Yeah, the scale between ant and then molecule, the, like, microscopic section, was so nice because, like, you're talking about the depth of field stuff. Still being able to see that ant, right? Like, I was that ant at one point. I remember being that ant, but now it's huge and also really far away.
The game does this interesting thing to create these infinite play spaces,
mm-hmm.
which...
I feel like it loops, doesn't it?
Yeah, it loops. But it loops kind of catty-corner. Like, it loops like a hex cell.
Mm.
If you go straight ahead, you'll run into, like, the lower left corner of the thing you're on.
Hmm.
You have to go diagonal to run into the same thing twice.
Unless you're going across a river, in which case you cross the river 3 or 4 times before you notice that you're looping.
Yeah. It's a really good effect. I wish it was slightly larger, because once you recognize the effect, it's really easy to see,
mm-hmm.
and it makes the play space feel much smaller. Like, it went from being this huge thing, like, oh my, how is this working, to the curtain sort of falling away, and I feel like I'm in a room that is moving around beneath me as opposed to exploring a planet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's clearly the better way to do it.
Yeah.
Because, for one thing, you don't want to actually be exploring a planet. You want to find the cool stuff and be done with it.
I think that was actually part of the reason I put it down after I quote-unquote finished it, was because looking for new stuff at that point, I don't know why it didn't appeal, but I was, like, kind of done with that. I feel like I'd gotten to the point where I recognized a bunch of the stuff that I see around me, and so hunting for stuff, like, new ground seemed less feasible. And also, I had had kind of a difficult time switching biomes. Like, I can go up and down really easily, but I was having a hard time moving laterally to, like, be like, okay, I want to find out what the ice part is like.
Yeah.
That might have just been a flaw on my part, where, like, I guess I didn't connect the continent part to the rest of it.
Yeah, the continents is the way that you change biomes. You go find a rock biome, or you go find a sand biome or ice biome. Sand continent, rock continent, etc. Yeah, I think that moving laterally is the weakest part. Mm-hmm. Generally what I would do is I would find like a new continent, become the continent, see all the small things I could be, jump into that, look around and see nothing. And jump right back into the continent and try again. And just do that over and over again for like 20 or 30 items. It's a little bit of a grind at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as enjoyable as it could be to just sort of hop around.
I think honestly that the percent rating that comes up when you discover a thing works to its detriment. I wasn't into the completionist sense. Taking over someone's body still feels invasive. And the completionist vibe of telling you what percentage of what category you'd filled once you've effectively claimed something, felt more like a metric of how much you've conquered rather than the sort of idyllic unity the game is aiming for. I'm not sure that's a problem outside of me or that necessarily needs to be fixed, but it felt like it's a jarring atonal sense to the overall like message of the game.
I agree. Because the thing is that mechanically, the two things that are meant to pull you through the content is you want to find more of these audio logs, and you want to complete your list of things.
Mm-hmm.
One of which is very tightly tied into the idea of being different things shows you different things about the world.
Mm-hmm.
You locate the audio logs the same way you do thoughts. They pop out of things. So that's true. Being things gives you more insight into this lecture. Where the completionist aspect mechanically drives, but doesn't tie into the theme, so it does conflict. There is a dissonance there.
I did want to mention really quickly two things. Documentary mode, which unlocks after you've completed the thing. Basically, it's a menu option where it'll switch into like a more video-driven thing, where it'll just like pick a creature or an object and give you a little snippet about what that creature is or what that object is. It seems like a little like Wikipedia entry, honestly, but it'll just do that and it'll cycle around. And the other thing is it's autoplay.
Oh yeah, I found that.
Yeah, if you just leave the game alone for like, I don't know, 5 or 10 seconds, it'll just start playing itself. And it's really cute.
There are actually settings for telling it how to play itself.
Really?
Like to have it change scale more or less often, to change group more or less often, to try to herd more or less often. Yeah, it certainly makes for an interesting screensaver.
Yeah, I feel like this would be a really good backdrop for a party.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Yeah, I did notice when they would just kind of go off and do its own thing, and I was like, get back here! That was my reaction.
Quash that independence as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's not really any story outside of the lecture. There's no greater arc happening. There's just you encountering the mechanics. You seem like you disagree.
I kind of do disagree. I think that there is a character arc for the player themselves, right? Because the game opens up and you're asking all these questions about what existing is and why you are. And then you land and then everything around you is like, hey, it's cool that you're here. Take it slow. We're gonna like guide you through this whole existing thing. And it's certainly not an explicitly written story for the most part. I think that going around and discovering things and getting to that point where the game is like, okay, you're ready to take on this challenge, right? The Golden X or whatever it is. And then you go into the Golden X and it's basically hell. Like nothing that is there is happy to be there. And everything there is, like, agonizing over things it should have done or didn't do or did do. And this part got a little ham-handed, and I'm not sure if that was a good or bad thing, necessarily. I think in the moment I resented it, but the way that you get out of that place is you go into everything that you've heard so far. Your thinking place, basically. And you let go of all of it. You erase all of it. and that's how you free yourself. You let go of these things.
Yeah. So the thing about that is that it felt most ham-fisted to me because it introduces a new mechanic
mm-hmm.
to justify itself.
Mm-hmm.
Before this, I never had a reason to open that menu. I opened that menu on accident a few times, but there was no reason to open that, nothing to do with those thoughts. Maybe I missed the thing about thinking to yourself, because I only ever generated a new thought like two or three times,
mm-hmm.
so I don't know what process makes that happen. But if the like herd and disperse mechanics existed in that space as well,
mm-hmm.
So that it was a continuation of the mechanics and verbs that you'd been learning, and you didn't have to be literally told, all right, there's a new button to press that will do the thing, go ahead and press the button and you'll be free of this place.
Right, or letting go of things had happened earlier on in the game, like you'd let go of the smaller things.
Yeah, and in fact, the dispersal mechanic didn't really come up initially either. Mm-hmm. Like, you can herd and you can disperse, but I never saw a reason to disperse.
I mean, sometimes it would be hard to get around things if you're a massive group of camels and there are, say, palm trees that you are getting the herd stuck on, then it's a good idea to scale down into one and try and navigate it that way, but...
Yeah, it made it so that it didn't mesh with things and it became its own separate experience.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked that when you go into that negative space, that everything thinks far more often.
Huh.
Everything is thinking constantly. Mm-hmm. Like, normally I'd see one or two thoughts on screen at most.
Mm-hmm.
And here I saw seven or eight easily. It was just, everything was very, very
constantly neurotic. Thinking about how unhappy it was. Yep. Yeah,
extremely neurotic.
A relatable feel. Yep.
It also had some interesting art of things that were just,
oh my god, yes,
messed up and malformed.
There are, like, eyeballs in there floating around. There's a bunch of objects that I've never seen before. There's these fractured... They look like bismuth, like the stone. That's all the ridged, like, rainbow, all geometric shapes. And it would scream in, like, a really mechanical way that I hadn't heard anywhere else. That's actually a thing I would like to touch on, is the sound design of this game. Everything's got a song that it can sing.
Mm-hmm.
It can be, like, you know, the camel, which screams, and there's the grass, which rustles. And you can sing to other things and they'll sing back. And, like, the rock, which I can't... It rocks. I don't know.
Yeah.
And down to the more abstract stuff, which I admired most of the sound design there. I feel like in some of the more abstract concepts, it got a little bit samey, but I don't know how you would avoid that. Yeah. I feel like that's fine.
Yeah, it was a noble effort.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing about it is that singing in negative space is a really painful experience.
Like, really? I never tried it.
Like, everything is just... Everything sounds so bad.
Mm.
Everything screeches and as... Yeah. It is a not pleasant thing. But I stayed down there because I wanted to collect them.
Yeah.
So what were your favorite things to become?
I was like a blueberry at one point.
I don't think I ever became a blueberry.
Because there were, like, ants swarming around a blueberry. It was either a blueberry or blackberry, but the color was blue.
Mm-hmm.
I just liked it so that I could join with other ones and roll around.
Yeah.
I really liked being abstract shapes. That was cool. I liked the way that the continents moved around. It took me a really long time to figure out how to aim and get up there, but being a cloud was cool. And I really liked a couple of the things in the, like, microscopic area had chain physics on them, so that it was really beautiful mm-hmm. to move around. There were some things that were, like, literally, like, threads, but they were rigid, so if you moved around, they were just, like, it was just that object moving in space.
The fences, if you became a fence, it would move around like a chain.
Oh, that's cool.
I looked around. It took me a little while. I very specifically searched to be a water bear.
Oh, found it, my God.
And I took it with me to the land, and I became a large water bear.
That's very good.
Just got, like, a nice little herd of water bears along with my mammoths. You know, I never found anything prehistoric or anything like, I didn't find any dinosaurs or stuff like that.
Yeah.
I wonder if it...
Are there dinosaurs?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I didn't find anything that wasn't of this era.
Yeah.
I also didn't find any people.
Yeah. I mean, other than limbs in the X zone, I guess we're calling it.
Yeah.
I mean, I found objects that people used. I found cars. I found,
yeah,
you know, toys.
Mm-hmm.
But I never found people.
Yeah, rolling through the streets with a fleet of cars was fun.
Mm-hmm.
I also really enjoyed becoming Aurora Borealis and dancing, and it's generating more and more and more.
That's so cool. I didn't know you could do that.
So I had a whole bunch of northern lights going.
At one point, I was 40 lampposts, just, like, in the middle of the street, which was, like, I've been to that art installation.
Yeah. Sometimes you just feel like 40 lampposts in the middle of the city. That's okay.
Yeah.
I liked being also clusters of buildings moving around.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, yeah. Part of the fun of that is just imagining the chaos of being someone who just lives here.
Yeah.
And now all of these buildings are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. I think at one point I became a radio tower, and one of the nearby buildings' thoughts was, hey, you're not supposed to move around. What are you doing? It's like, watch me.
Did you notice that things have opinions about you? If you become a certain kind of plant and you go into another plant's space, it will either like that or dislike that. Huh. And a little like heart or like a jagged icon or whatever will appear as it reacts to your presence.
That's really good.
I don't know what it means. I don't know how that adds up to anything.
I don't think it does.
But things have opinions about you coming around.
I love that. I think I would have spent more time with it if the feeling of moving around as a thing was different for different things. We've talked a bit about the different kinds of animations that there are, different things have, but moving around as them doesn't feel any different. Like, you don't go different speeds. You have the same kind of weird resistance to turning in basically any shape.
Yeah. I think that the thing that I needed from this was, I think it should have been easier to track down new things to be.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of has that when you enter the like thing selection mode of like be larger or smaller, take over this thing or that thing, it'll show up as like this purplish multicolored thing if you haven't been it before.
Mm-hmm.
If that thing is off screen, you can still sort of tell that, oh, in that direction is the thing I haven't been. But I wish that it went a little bit further than that, of like, if I become this thing, I'll be of an appropriate size to become something I haven't been. And also, if there was any relationship between the thing and the space that you put it in, you know, it was cool to be a tardigrade in space, and it was cool to be a tardigrade on land, but there wasn't any difference.
Mm-hmm. So the size context of, like, Katamari Damacy has.
Yeah.
Been, like, I have these objects now, I can roll over to things that are slightly bigger than it, etc.
Yeah, because then if I was encountering these new items to be because I had gone to try a thing, I think that would have been more rewarding than just having the scavenger hunt if I want to find more of the content, more of the talk, more of the lecture. Because I really enjoyed the lecture.
Yeah.
I think without that, I probably wouldn't have spent more than 20 minutes on the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would have gotten really tired of the mechanics a lot faster. What did you need from the game?
One of the hardest things was moving around. I feel like if I was trying to, I don't know what, like, the terms for it is, but if I just wanted to look around, like, it was really, really sensitive, and was there a setting to change that?
Might have been. I didn't try.
Yeah, probably. It seemed like it was bent towards, like, having decent accessibility as far as, like, the documentary mode and all the customization that you were talking about. So I feel like probably it had, like, sensitivity settings, but I never looked into it.
I don't know, but that was a little bit difficult for me, especially trying to find new things.
Mm. Did you just like run out of time, or
I was just trying to look for new things, and then I didn't know like what was next. I was like, what am I supposed to be doing here? I just don't think I had enough patience the first time around.
Yeah, that's why I think like a little bit more breadcrumbing in the mechanics would help, to have a reason to, because the thing that it does is sort of pace it out. It's very much like a walking simulator in that the player's role is to look around and find the content, and then the content happens and then repeat. But the goals of what you're supposed to do in the meantime is really nebulous. So you're just supposed to wander around and be things. And that sort of undirected and also kind of purposeless exploration, I think, really works to its detriment. Like, if I think actually and maybe this mechanic exists because I didn't understand how thinking works, but if gathering up the thoughts of objects lets you create new thoughts, and if those new thoughts let you find new gameplay opportunities, then I'd be, oh great, I'm gonna look around, it's really easy to find thoughts, I'm just gonna keep doing that. And every time I get 10 of them or whatever, I'll be like, ah, I found a new one that's got something that I needed to try out the next little bit. And maybe, like, instead of, because you currently find your new mechanics the same way you find your thoughts, the same way you find your lecture is just out there.
Mm-hmm. You just talk to things, yeah.
In fact, actually, if the thinking process created the lecture, I think that would have been,
oh, that would be rad, yeah.
Pretty compelling to, like, go find some stuff and,
especially since that feeds back into the unified theory, like, it's literally you teaching yourself about being everything.
Yeah. So, did you like it?
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed the time that I spent with this game. I love the thesis of it. I love the execution of it. It's really beautiful. It's a really calm and peaceful game. It's just like a nice place to be. I probably won't play it again. I would probably recommend it to folks if they're looking for that kind of experience of just being like, I need to de-stress and just chill in a cool space and be a tree. And I'd probably put it in the background of a party if I had a party.
I think that's actually a really good idea to have it as like this large media random thing happening, mm-hmm. especially as it plays itself. And I can imagine it being like a really thoughtful addition to a dumb party. Yeah. It's like where it's hanging out and it's like, wow, this.
I didn't know that about hedgehogs. Did you know that about hedgehogs? That's cool.
I didn't know that about hedgehogs at all. It's shocking how much I don't know about hedgehogs.
Appalling, really.
I'm sorry.
How dare you? What do you think?
It was unlike anything I've ever encountered, especially game-wise. I haven't played that many games, but still, it was... I found myself very curious. One was like, is there a story? And then, like, where is this going? But it was exciting, like, every new thing that you discovered that you could do, or, like, everything that you became was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I think when I gave up, it was just because I had noticed that a lot of the terrain was the same, mm-hmm. and I kept seeing the same animals, and I was like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I could have powered through and kept going, but, yeah, I didn't.
It's fine.
But I probably would go back to it if I just found myself bored or mm-hmm. like, what should I do? Or, yeah, if I just wanted to be in some other world and exist or whatever.
Think maybe. About being everything?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very simplistic experience. It was kind of calming, too, like with the lecture and the music. I really liked the music.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
It just kind of, I don't know, as simple as it is, it's nice that it's so simple. Mm-hmm. So you're not really thinking about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I probably wouldn't go back to try to find all the things, but maybe try the documentary mode, which I didn't try before. Mm. I really want to hear the full talk.
Right, yeah.
So I might look into where that is and just have that on, because that was really, really engaging stuff.
It's a game that's very, very much its own self, right? Like, it picked a thesis, which is hilarious because thesis is literally everything is everything. But it drilled down into that thesis very specifically, and the whole game is pointed towards this singular goal, which is to get you to feel as though you are a part of a larger whole, and that the larger whole is a part of you, and that all of this is interconnected. And I really admire it for doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it goes in for a thing, and it totally goes for it. And I really enjoyed it a lot more than a lot of other things. Like, you know, Proteus gets a lot of love for its art style and its sort of thoughtful pace, but I enjoyed this a great deal more because I just felt more attached.
Which one is Proteus?
First person walking simulator on an island, very 8-bit. That's everything that I had to say. Actually, one thing I did, that syncing process, that where you sort of synchronize mm-hmm. with the thing in order to move on to the next thing that you can become. That goes away completely as soon as you finish the tutorial, mm-hmm. and makes me feel like that should have gone away a lot sooner.
I agree. There were definitely points of the game where I was like, okay, I'm going to sprint or sing a bunch so I can move on to the next thing, because I see something else I want to be, then I see another thing that I want to be, and like, I would like to move through that process a lot faster, and I think that if that had opened up before the end of the game, then I would probably have kept playing it after that. I don't know, that kind of jump was a bad place to put it, because I felt like some of the gameplay had gotten taken out of the game at that point. Having to spend that time in a body, or I don't know what else to call it, getting used to its dimensions and how it moves and the way it sounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, like, yeah, exactly, like, or don't let you bypass that step.
Yeah.
Because being able to bypass that step, I kind of resented that I spent so much time in that step. Exactly. But also, not being able to bypass that step, I always bypass that step and just move immediately on to the next thing. Mm-hmm. I also found it difficult to find my way back to the Golden X thing.
Yes, that was hard.
ultimately, I think the game just gave up on me and took me back.
It did for me as well, yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I started in the sand biome, right? And then I went back to the sand biome, but it was the wrong sand biome. Like, it was a different section.
I got stuck in a sand biome. I was unable to get larger to leave it at one point. What I should have done is gone smaller. Once you go from the quantum dimension, you can go to the universe scale again. Mm-hmm. Which, I guess that makes sense. Why not?
Yeah, sure.
That's everything all the way. Did anybody else have any more notes on the game before we move on to emails?
Yeah, I wanted to pull a parallel between it and Driver San Francisco. In Driver San Francisco, the game Driver SF.
San Francisco to those who needed to know what that word was. Sassafras. Driver Sassafras.
Mm-hmm. You are playing this cop who's been put into a coma, and so he, in his, like, dream state, is working through the case that he was running when he got put into the coma.
I can't wait to play this game.
The game's so good. It's so campy and good, but that's a whole other thing. The point I'm trying to get at is that you can switch between... It's a driving game, so you can switch between cars that are on the road. You can, like, basically jump out of the car that you're in as a spirit and then enter into a different car. But it's all you. This whole game is just... It's just in your brain. You're making up this other person that you're now driving. And...
Spoilers.
It's the premise of the game. I don't know what to tell you. That, I sort of gets rid of my bad feelings about possessing another thing. Because it's you. It's all of it is you. You're just deciding what to drive consciously.
I mean, that's the premise of this game, too. Is that all of it is you to begin with. And you become it. And you become another it. And that there was no difference to begin with is kind of the thesis. It's making a claim of,
I suppose,
is that you and the universe you are in are not different things.
Well, I mean, the argument I would make against that is that there are other things in the universe also. There are other things that are having other experiences that are not currently you.
Mm-hmm.
And in this game, you can go and become those things. But like, if I go up to a plant and it has a thought about a thing, I didn't have that thought. That thing had that thought. So even if I go and inhabit that plant, I still didn't have that thought. Like, even though it's in my catalog, it's because I experienced it from the outside. It's not because I concocted it.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of the difference that I'm coming to for this game, for a driver. But the point I'm trying to aim for was that jumping in and out of different cars was rewarding because all of the cars in that game are tuned so differently, to such a point where the way a car handles is a really huge part of its, like, character. And so moving into a new car and finding out how it moves and how to, like, power glide over a curve or whatever. That's not the word, don't at me. The way that that car makes that turn is so much different from the way that your previous car makes that turn, etc., etc. That's sort of what I meant by how I would have appreciated if the movement of these different objects had varied a little bit more.
Yeah, that's actually a good point, because part of the reason that those differences are important is because you get different performance out of it, and you also get different, like, you can switch into being a garbage truck, and now you have a huge amount of mass, so you can crash into another car, and there's nothing like that in everything. Like, mm-hmm. You can become a building and just move over stuff, and those things are fine with that.
Yeah.
You can turn into those things again, and you're just underneath the building, and then when you move again, you'll be on top of the building. Like, mm-hmm. there's no violence of any kind. There's, like, nothing eats.
I appreciated that, to be honest. Having
I agree.
That I feel like that safety was important for the experience.
I agree. I think that I wish that it had been mechanically represented, though.
Mm.
Like, the way that the dance and sing mechanically represent sort of aspects of what the object is and its relationship to the environment. I wish that that was a little bit, like... Maybe if your dance is different when you're around predators as a as its prey, right? Like, not that gets you eaten or that has you eat other things or any of that conflict, but just that there's, I don't know, I guess that the answer to that isn't immediately clear as part of why that's not here, but it feels like a space for expanding on the game that we got, which, again, I enjoyed quite a bit. Did you have any further notes before we wrap up?
I just think that as my takeaway, after, you know, being so many different objects and things, and then talking to objects that were confused about, like, what they were or their purpose and things like that, it really made me grateful to be human. Because I feel like those things were just kind of, like, existing or kind of doing mundane things, but we have the choice to create our own experience, whatever we want it to be. So... after playing it, I was like, I am so glad I am not, like, a rock or an ant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad to just be me, like, a person.
You wouldn't want to be a rock or an ant?
No.
Learning new things about you all the time. All right, so that is everything we have to say about everything. If you would like to contribute to the conversation, you should email us at backlog@teacabbage.com. If you want to follow up on anything really dumb that we've said, or if you have cool insights.
I repeat, please do not at me. I know that that was the wrong word.
Sasha is here to receive all of that information.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you have other questions about games in general, or I don't know.
Send us cool pictures of cats. I would like a cool picture of a cat, please.
Yeah, go ahead and do that thing.
Not cute, that's easy. Give me a cool picture of a cat.
A cool picture. Again, that's backlog@teacabbage.com. This week, we have an email from, I believe it's from Christian.
is that how it's pronounced? Yeah?
Yeah.
Cool.
Let's see. What does Christian write to us?
Okay, it's just four questions. Dear Sasha and Calix.
That's us.
One, how far did you go in the game? I already know. Two, were you bored at times? Three, what was your first reaction to the cartwheeling animals? And four, I want to change that question. What did you...
This is a live email.
What is your main takeaway from the lecture? I know there was a lot, but like, what stuck with you?
Can you start from the...
Yeah, okay, first question.
Because I've already forgotten.
No, I already know the answer to the first one. So, okay. Were you bored at times?
Yeah. Probably 3/4 of the way through the game, I started to fight with the things that we talked about, like moving started to feel really uniform and bad, and looking for new things stopped being sort of an exploration and started being trying to feed a habit, almost. Like, looking for the next new thing and trying to complete things rather than exploring. And having to synchronize with a thing before I found the next thing was frustrating because it was, other than its shape and its voice, there wasn't really anything new to discover for the next 30 seconds or however long it was. And also getting stuck in the X zone and trying to figure out the way out. That's when I got bored.
Yeah, same here. There's an element of the mundane that it tries to embrace, and sometimes it works, but sometimes it just doesn't. I found it boring some of the time. I did this game in 3 sessions over lunch the past week, so having natural breakpoints, I think, helped my experience. This is not a game I recommend playing in a single sitting. That being said, I'm not sure how many return visits it can really justify.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my 3, I feel pretty full on what's going on, and that is not nearly enough to see all the content, so... Yeah, I think you just gotta be in a space to be bored sometimes. Did you get bored?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I did.
Cool.
Okay, next question. Oh, what was your first reaction to the cartwheeling animals?
Delight. Absolute raw and, like, excited and surprised. So funny and good. I really, like, I think part of it is that it doesn't, like, it's not a fluid, like, smooth rotation. It's, like, point to point. It's almost as if you just drew a picture of a camel and then drew another picture of the camel on its side and then just flipped between those two things really quickly.
Yeah, it's like you're a wooden block tumbling around and you just happen to be in the shape of whatever thing you are. And it's really, really delightful. It sets a really good tone, especially because this comes immediately after, like, oh, we're going to be all somber and thoughtful, mm-hmm. and space, and here's stuff that you are, and all right, now you're on your face.
Yes. Cool. Actually, existence is silly as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the sound it made, too, every time they flipped to a different, like, part, and then the herd.
Yeah, God, picking up speed. Well, yes, it's so good.
And then...
What was the last question that you changed?
What stuck with you from the lecture? Like, what was the main, like, little tidbit that you really liked?
I think it was the planet peoples and things like that. And there was another part of it that was really cool that was talking about how being socialized to think of ourselves as separate from each other and from the planet and from the universe, how that leads to problems between us. And how the tendency of loneliness and also to sort of faction ourselves into us and them and to think of ourselves as something that happens to the planet and therefore inevitably to detriment, right? Because we don't feel unified with our environment, it seems like we can only take. But the truth of the matter is that we aren't different from our environment. We are our environment. It was really cool. The lecture was really good.
Yeah.
I like really good lectures.
Yeah, I like the whole premise of this thing that you're feeling is not a different feeling from what it's like to be a cell, mm-hmm. or a galaxy or anything And I think it makes that argument pretty strongly, that the intrinsic experience of being is this unified thing that everything goes through, and that we can use that to understand the world and ourselves better. And I found that really engaging. What about you, Christian? What would you take away?
I don't...
You thought you'd be spared? No.
No, I don't remember. I know there was some parts where I was like, that is... And I think it was... Like, I do remember the whole, did we happen to the world? Mm-hmm. Are we something that just happened? And I don't know. I just liked it. I don't really have any other thoughts, but I appreciated it because that's not... These aren't things that I hear on a regular basis. And so it was completely unexpected. And I like that it was making me think about things that I don't usually think about.
Yeah.
It wasn't this really dumbed down philosophy. It was very accessible.
Yeah, it was simply spoken.
It wasn't like The Matrix or whatever, where it was like, here's this cool representation of this idea that when you look into it is really just the starting point for a lot of other discussions. Mm-hmm. But because they go so... Again, this game is about its idea. Mm-hmm. So it spends a lot of time with it, so it doesn't feel as cliff notes about it. It doesn't feel as truncated, even though in some ways it literally is.
It just feels well taught, that's all.
Yeah.
Like, this is a really good teacher who's speaking.
I'd like to make a game like this. Mm-hmm. I think making a game that talks to you and seeks to express the thing it's talking to you through you. Like, having the gameplay mechanically represent the thing being talked about, and obviously a perspective is being presented, but then saying, well, let's say that this perspective has some merit, is based on something. Here are the mechanics we're talking about. Is this what you find to be true? I don't know where I would start making a game like that. Mm-hmm. I tend to be very interested in the relationships between things. So it would probably be something fairly specific, like Beloved does a little bit of that, but is more about the character as opposed to the philosophical nature of it.
We should do an episode on Beloved. I think that would be really funny. This is a game that we made in 2013.
Back when we were children.
Back when we were, oh.
Innocent.
Tiny. But we should do an episode on that just because it would be really cool to hear your perspective on it. And it would be also fun to do as kind of a postmortem of it.
Yeah.
The game that struck me as actually a pretty good parallel to the things that you're talking about is Getting Over It with Bennett Foddy.
I haven't tried that yet.
I've only seen streams of it. So basically this game is, it's very weird. It's a game where you are a man who is shirtless and trapped in a cauldron.
I believe I heard that that character is from the, like, poser asset list. Like, it's one of the, like, just assets, the default asset that comes with this modeling program.
The only way that he can move around is he has a sledgehammer in his hand. He basically, like, hooks it onto things and then moves that way. And from what I've heard, the sledgehammer has, like, really finicky mouse controls. Like, it's a very specific way of moving around in the world. And you are climbing a mountain using this sledgehammer, and it's a game about failing a lot. It autosaves, so whenever you fail, and it can send you all the way back to the beginning of the game, after, like, hours of work. Every time that you lose progress, Bennett Foddy, the developer, will pipe up in his pleasant and friendly British accent and be like, oh, I'm sorry about that. You did lose a chunk there. That must feel really bad. And is, like, not making fun of you, but it's just using this game as a way of talking about failure.
Yeah, sometimes it'll be, like, part of a poem or something, or some musing about the development, or is on thoughts of what game design is or should be, or the relationship that players have to games. Yeah, I'd like to explore what that would mean for me to make a game like that. I don't have any immediate musings as to what that means. I think we should add that as a section of, like, would you make a game like this?
That's a good section, yeah.
I'll come into next week's with a thought on what kind of everything game I would make. And then we'll include that for our next game, which is Banner Saga. We just watched a trailer of Banner Saga before this, so some initial impressions.
Well, I'm looking forward to, like, a story. And it looks like there's some combat in there. It's interesting that they're, like, the last people left, and then who are they fighting against?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Because she said, like, the gods aren't there anymore, so it's them, humans, and they're fighting against evil...
These horned things, and they're...
I don't think they're people, but, yeah.
I'm sure they're people.
I got the gist that they were the whatever destroyed the Earth or like made everyone else or destroyed everyone else.
Some kind of like goblin force or like demons or something. Yeah. The only thing I know about Banner Saga is that it's devastatingly sad. So I'm excited for that. I love to be sad and also make decisions. I think it also has some decisions in it. I think there's a little bit of branching narrative, which feeds into the sadness, I imagine.
So we'll find out more about that next time on The Backlog. If you have anything to contribute to a discussion about the Banner Saga, email us at backlog@teacabbage.com, which is conveniently the same way you would email us about anything else. go ahead and hit up that email with those cool cat pics and those Banner Saga deep cuts. Thank you for joining us, Christian. Thank you for your added experience on everything. It was a pretty weird place to start, I'll be honest.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me. This is another new experience, and it was cool and eye-opening.
Yeah.
Yes.
You get a lot out of the experience of being everything you can see.
Yes. You see that thing? You could be that.
Be that thing. Yeah. Looking forward to hearing your experience with the Banner Saga. And we will see you next time on The Backlog.